Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, this is indeed Liberty Roundtable live for what? August the 11th? In the year of our Lord, 2017, hour 202. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the tradition of our founders. The goal is never revolution. We reject that, but the goal is peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's how we roll. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. Kurt's with me. Hi, Kurt. Kurt's missing in action. We'll go to the good sheriff. Hi, Sheriff Mac. Welcome, sir.
I'm here, and good morning.
Man, I'm glad two weren't missing in action. I'd be DOA all by myself.
Buenos dias, and there's Sheriff Mac and me. Yeah, good
job, welcome, Sheriff Kurt. Mac. Better late than never.
Thank you. Yeah, all nice right. To be here.
The sheriff, I want to talk about this, what we talked about last hour a little bit. The truth about Donald Trump, writes Chuck Baldwin in an incredible detailed column. It's long, it's detailed, but the upshot from Chuck Baldwin, sheriff, is, hey, everybody runs around and acts like God sent the Donald, and man, Donald's just awesome, and the Christians did this to the Bush plan as well, and neither of them are good presidents. And bottom line is Donald's declared bankruptcy 7 times, leaving people bilked out of money for billions of dollars. And when he skates through bankruptcy, he wins and gets rich, and the rest of us get the beating as taxpayers, and people get the shaft, private investors and partners and everybody else. And you and I, when we go through a bankruptcy, it's a complete meltdown for the Donald or for the rich. They just, you know, skate through it very smoothly. He talks about the perversion of Donald, that Donald's been perverted for his whole life. He's had affairs on wives. He's been married 3 times. And this guy's just a pervert. So he's a rich pervert that literally leaves people with billions of dollars holding the bag as he continues to get rich. And really, he ain't done anything as president that makes any sense except for really attacked everybody and their dog and ratcheted up hatred and vitriol and confusion and miscommunication. And he's talked big about draining the swamp and making America great, but really we see nothing. At the end of the day, he says, I don't know if Trump's rhetoric is what he really believes or if he's really part of a scheme to scam us. But either way, nothing's getting done and God didn't send him. And there you go. Now, I will say, even if all that's... Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say there's a couple of parts that, you know, one is this latest thing with Judge Roy Moore, where he points out that, you know, how can he be a really good guy if he supports Judge Roy Moore's opponent? And we agree there. But then he does say, does all of this mean that Donald Trump cannot and will not make some good decisions as our president? He says, no, not at all. If it's true that Trump ordered the CIA to stop supporting the Syrian rebels, that was a very good decision. And I applaud Trump's decision to ban transgenders from the U.S. military. My only question is why he didn't ban all homosexuals from military service at the same time. Since the days of George Washington, the U.S. military has always deemed that homosexuality was incompatible with military service, and indeed it is. So why did Trump stop with transgenders? Why did Trump leave that Barack Obama order allowing homosexuals to serve in the military intact? And for that matter, why doesn't Trump undo Obama's order putting women in combat units and on submarines? Now then he continues some good stuff, you know, that he says that Trump did. He says, I'm told by trusted Christian attorney friends that Trump's Justice Department is advocating against cases that provide legal preferences on the basis of apparent sexual behavior. I applaud Trump for this. Trump has taken a public stand in support of the Second Amendment. I applaud Trump for this. I applaud Trump for making it difficult for manufacturing companies to relocate overseas and for keeping jobs in and bringing jobs back to the United States.
Now, what I like about this is Chuck Baldwin's taking the stance that I take. Let's be fair. Let's judge everything on principle. Let's not, you know, make friends or pick enemies here. Let's remain politically neutral about individuals, but let's talk about the facts. When Donald does this, it's great. When Donald does this, it's horrible. And here's the reasons why, based on principle. Anyway, the summation is, the only area that I might disagree a little bit with Chuck Baldwin might be that, you know, even a very wicked man, God can use for good. Look at, you know, Saul turning into Paul as a perfect example. of the case. You know, God can use people that are very bad people for very good reasons oftentimes. And I think that a lot of good's done by Trump. However, not enough good to really fulfill the campaign promises or the rhetoric or the, quote, conservatives' hopes on this thing. 6 months in, what's your take on the Donald, Sheriff?
I've had some of those same concerns, and probably my most obvious concern, or the one that I think is most obvious about Trump, is the draining of the swamp. And even in his campaign, he went through several bureaucracies that he said he was going to pretty much abolish, that he was going to really gut them, that they were only going to be skeletal after he got through with them. Department of Education was one. Department of Energy was another one. I think.
And by the way, let me just stop you there. On Betsy DeVos, she got caught in a race scandal. Now they say she's a racist and she's all backpedaling. So they've destroyed her with a race card. It's all a lie, but she fell for it. And then the bottom line is it turns out that her brother's tied big time into the military scandals going on. That's the Betsy DeVos story. Other than that, she's accomplished nothing, and I don't see any downsizing.
No. No, there's not in any of them. And Ryan Zink, former congressman from Montana, who I actually know, and I actually had endorsed him while he was running for Congress, and then some people in Montana who I know very well told me to withdraw the endorsement, and I wished I never had, because right now he would owe me, and right now, so on the other way, he's probably a little bit ticked at me and said, hey, you know what, I'm not going to deal with Sheriff Mack now. But he and I actually spoke several times, and now, of course, he's Secretary of Interior. And it would have been really nice to be able to have his ear as we diminish or abolish the BLM, and we could do that. But now I'm not in a position to do that, and I wish I hadn't listened to those people. But be that as it may, Trump is not draining the swamp. He talks like he is. I don't know what he thinks draining the swamp means. I think it means for him just to win and to repeal and replace Obamacare. I'm not really interested in replacing Obamacare with more with just a watered-down socialist.
Or with even a worse plan, Republican style. Oftentimes, Republicans make things worse. Remember, health care in America has been double-teamed by the Republicans and Democrats. That's why where we're at. It was the Republicans that said, well, hey, let's not allow, in other words, it was regulation that said we can't give people better salaries. And so employers got creative and said, well, fine, we can't increase salaries or do this or that for people, but we can give them perks and let's give them health care. And the government between the Republicans and Democrats really backed us into the health care crisis we have now. The Republicans want you to believe it's a Democrat owned thing, but it's a lie. And what they're really all pushing for is a single payer system.
Yeah. And you know, Trump's bragging that, you know, in fact, yesterday he bragged that the border crossings are down 78%. And, I don't know how they determine that this soon. But, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, that's really good. He deserves credit for that.
Yes, he does. But again, Joe Arpaio's in jail. And the reason that they were down significantly a lot, in large part, to Joe's policies. And Joe's in jail now. Well, not in jail, I guess.
No,
Joe's
not in jail.
He's waiting for his sentencing. Hopefully he won't go to jail. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, he was unfairly prosecuted. Now he's running around saying, where's the Donald? Donald's strangely silent, right?
That is a huge question. In fact, that was on my list, and I was going to mention that next because I don't want President Trump to wait till the end of his term to start pardoning people, as is the custom for presidents. And
by the way, let's be clear, which is the custom. It's not a must. They have authority the whole time. It's just what they do. But they could start now. And when it comes to innocence in prison, Donald needs to change the game and start now.
He should, and absolutely should. And the thing about the pardons is they are wrapped with or enveloped with a little bit of subterfuge, because they're people that are of usually ill repute, or that people, they're it's politicians who've been in trouble. It's people who have been big donors and who have gotten in trouble. It's drug dealers who they just want to give a second chance to, or, you know, people who have usually committed some real crimes, but they go, you know, he's, you know, the former governor of Arizona, Fife Symington. I liked him. He and I were friends. I endorsed him, but he got in trouble. He went to prison for a little bit, and Clinton pardoned him. So
there you go. Of all people, strange brew, strange bedfellows. But the Donald needs to free innocents in prison immediately. We're working on that. Even Joe Arpaio needs to jump aboard with us. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds. Sheriff Mack on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this will work. Guess who's going to have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill, or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us, too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio. We're talking about this incredible article written by Chuck Baldwin. I personally think Chuck Baldwin is spot on this article. The truth about Donald Trump. ChuckBaldwin.com. But I want to point this out, though. I'm not here to attack the Donald. And I don't think Chuck is either. What I think we're really doing is providing concerns for the Donald. Donald, you know what? You've been a pervert your whole life. You've literally skated on the American people and on the taxpayer and on innocence for too long. Literally 7 bankruptcies, 3 wives later, you're telling us you're going to make America great again. The only way to make America great again is with moral leadership. Now, Saul was turned into Paul. There's hope, Donald. But it starts with freeing innocents in prison. It starts with shutting down government entities and the funding and draining the swamp. That's where it starts. And if you really want to get it done, that's where you're going to need to start, Donald. So we're not really here to attack the Donald. We are here to point out the obvious, and we're here to point the way forward for solutions. Okay, the Pentagon hired a British firm who literally, you know, deceived the American people and spent $50 million to train Afghan intelligence officers. But they spent money on high-end cars and six-figure salaries, and it was a big old scandal. Just got uncovered. It was just, the audit was just made public on this. That's an example where you're not draining the swamp, Donald. You're not doing it fast enough. In fact, there's a lot of people that I hope that would be in the Trump administration. I don't see a single person that I know or have confidence in that's been hired by the Donald. And everybody that I see being hired has an insider political revolving door background. And so, look, if Donald wants to turn this around, we'll give him credit for all the good that he's done. Absolutely. But I'm also going to point out, look, unless we lead with morality, unless we lead with draining the swamp, meaning defunding unconstitutional organizations. We're not going to get anywhere. You got to shut down the education department like the Republicans have promised for literally my whole adult life for decades. Right now, Betsy DeVos's brother is tied to the military-industrial complex. No wonder we're ratcheting up the military, huh? Betsy got caught in a scandal. They now claim she's a racist, and they fell for that lie race card. The bottom line is she's derailed from anything valuable here, Kurt.
There's even one other little part that I thought was interesting.
Sure, please.
You know, I mean, there's a bunch, but he says, it's way too early to applaud Trump for his Supreme Court appointment, Neil Gorsuch. Like so many of Trump's appointees, Gorsuch is CFR. I didn't know that. He goes on to say that makes it very doubtful that Gorsuch will be faithful to constitutional government. And as I have said before, for the most part, Gorsuch is untested on the issues that really matter.
Amen. Now he'll
so
be,
we'll see.
He'll have fidelity enough to keep the confidence and keep everybody guessing. They're smart enough to do enough so we don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater and go, these people are evil. They do enough to keep you guessing. And we don't know where Donald really stands. Is he really trying to drain the swamp? It's just too big of a swamp. There's too many gators out there. Or is he really not even trying to drain the swamp? Well, Kurt brought a wise point forward, Sheriff. By your fruits shall you know them. The problem is there's so much good fruit and so much bad fruit mixed together that it's hard to kind of get a handle on it. But I would come back to the morality issue. Unless America is moral, America will never be great again, sir. I'm telling you that right now. And I guess I'm saying I don't really see a sea change in the Donald. About morality and faithfulness to his spouse and these kinds of things. In fact, why has the media covered up a lot of his sexual scandals? Oh, they let a couple of things break, but not enough to take him down. And so really the media is in bed with the Donald, whether Donald admits it or not. He trashes the New York Times, says they're an enemy of the people. But really when Donald wants to break a story, he goes right to the same reporters he's been trashing. He doesn't let Liberty Roundtable sit down at the table. He doesn't come to the Liberty Roundtable for a radio interview. Now you'd say, well, Sam, that's because you're a nobody. You're too small. And my response is one interview from the Donald would change a lot of that. But why does he keep going into the arms of the media that he loves to hate? And the answer is because I believe it's a massive psyop.
Well, you know, first of all, the thing that surprises me is I have never heard, and you and I have discussed before that he's had bankruptcies, but I have never heard that he's had 7 bankruptcies.
Yeah, true story, buddy. The bottom line is the media is covering for the Donald, though. See, he acts like they're his enemy, but they're really his protection, and he wouldn't have been elected without their backing of billions of dollars of free media for the Donald.
Well, that's for sure, but it's almost impossible time frame-wise, but I guess it depends also on the type of bankruptcy you have, because I've had a bankruptcy before, and it was over 10 years ago. However, I was laid off. Was trying to find any kind of better job in the world that I possibly could, and I couldn't. And I couldn't pay my bills anymore, and it was either sink or swim. And Don and I decided that we had no other choice at the time but to take it out. But that particular type of bankruptcy, you can't do it again for 7 years. So if Donald has taken out this personal bankruptcy 7 different times, that's close to a 50-year period.
And, you gotta stop there, though, and you got to understand a few things. The rich don't obey the same rules that you and I do, Sheriff.
Well, there's two
so for you. Hold on. So for you, though, that might be the case. For Donald, though, see, you got to debate what a bankruptcy is. What if he has a business that's not tied to his name, that's tied to his associates or this and that, but that he had direction over? There's all kinds of ways to have different ownership and different breakdowns and different pieces of the pie, and the rules that apply to you and me just don't apply to Donald, and so that's kind of the reason that it doesn't take what you think it takes, right?
And like I say, a business restructuring bankruptcy is different than a personal bankruptcy where you take it out and, you know, all of your debt is wiped out.
Yeah, and the story does not say that he did personal bankruptcy 7 times. Usually it's a restructuring bankruptcy. Usually what happens is they go through these restructurings that benefit the insiders and give everybody else the shaft. And I submit to you, that's probably the detail.
And then let me tell you one thing I did, too. On my bankruptcy, I went to the banks who I owed money to, credit card companies, my mortgage company, and also specifically Wells Fargo, who had my car loan. And I said, if I could get each of you, if I could get you to move, in fact, I remember the one from Wells Fargo the most, if I could get you to move the interest rate just 5 points down from a 10% to a 5%, that I could make this happen, and I will continue to try to pay all my bills. And, you know, tell me, go ahead, tell me what the response was.
I have no idea.
They said, hell,
well, I'll tell you the response.
Oh.
They said, no way.
That's because you're not
they
rich
said,
enough, Sheriff.
They said, absolutely. They said, no way will the bank do that. And I said, okay. So the bank was okay with losing tens of thousands of dollars instead of just cutting the interest rate 5 points. They said, there's no way they will do that. And so I said, well, you've left me with no choice. You're going to lose a lot of money. And you know, it's just, that's how the banks are. And I will tell you right now, it did not hurt my feelings to do that to the banks after I tried everything I possibly could to get them to work with me. And they won't. I'm going to tell you right now, they won't do it today either. They won't do it tomorrow, and they won't do it today. It's not going to happen. They will never do that. They'll tell you, if you're going to take out bankruptcy, go ahead. You know. So anyway, it's pretty pathetic that they will not work with you, and they would rather lose 95% in order not to help save or work with one of their creditors or debtors. And so it's just, you know, it's a system that the banks have created, and I guess they expect it from time to time, and it's all rolled into their database and into their portfolio. That's what I want. It's just rolled into their portfolio. That's what's going to happen sometime. So that Donald did it seven times, you know, maybe that's part of business.
Well, and all I know is this. Yeah. I don't have all the details about what the details of each bankruptcy are.
Right.
Just know that Chuck Baldwin does stellar work, and I'm telling you, if he's writing that, I'm pretty confident that he's researched it well enough to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I know and trust Chuck. But,
You
know, and exactly what those bankruptcies look like, and you might say, well, no, wait a minute, Donald only had this much stake in that company. And I mean, you might break it up and say, well, it's not bankruptcy in the literal sense all the way. There was a restructuring. Mm-hmm. The whole point is every time that's happened, Donald's got rich while the rest have been holding the bag kind of stuff.
But after he does get that rich, he should go back and pay back any of those people he owed money. And maybe that happened somewhere along the line. I don't know.
Well, I doubt it. I doubt that. And in fact, Chuck does talk about the Atlantic City piece of this. Kurt, he does talk about a little bit of it.
Well, that's right. You know, there's some some detail given, but, you know, he, at least in my opinion, you know, he, it's just not the perfect president, but you know, nobody thought he was. But
the level of scandal behind the scenes is what Chuck points to, that the media covered up and prevented a lot of it from coming forward.
Though, this, a lot of this did come out though about Donald doing this to people and leaving people holding the bag.
Yeah, but only in a vague way that mentioned it so that it was on the table, but not in a way to take him down.
Yeah, but I don't know if seven bankruptcies would have taken him down either, because, you know, just tell him things.
It depends on how much the media beats on that turret. Quick pause. Right. Sam, Kurt, and Mac on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Defense Secretary Mattis warning North Korea. In the warning, he emphasized the U.S. and its allies have the capability to defend themselves. He exhorted the dictator of North Korea to listen to the U.N. Secretary General and the Security Council speaking in what he called a unified voice, and governments around the world who agree that North Korea poses a threat to global security and stability. Mattis said that the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, quote, must choose to stop isolating itself and to step down from nuclear weapons. The dictator of Venezuela, Maduro's Constitutional Assembly, has decreed itself superior to all government institutions. Opposition lawmakers expressly forbidden from challenging laws passed by this hand-picked Constitutional Assembly. An opposition leader was removed from her post as Attorney General this past weekend. On Tuesday, Supreme Court judges convicted the opposition mayors of several towns. This is LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source. WorldAffairsBrief.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
We taught you skip stones.
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, enough on the Chuck Baldwin, Donald Trump story, but I bring it all up because if we want to make America great again, as Chuck Baldwin wisely points out, we're going to have to make America moral again. We're going to have to turn to our God. We're going to have to turn Saul, the old Donald Trump, into Paul, the new Donald Trump, if you will, if we're ever going to get it done. And it's going to start with morality, and it's going to start with draining the swamp and defunding government agencies that have been rogue agents like the IRS for a long time, weaponized against the American people. Donald, you're going to have to start there, and you're going to have to put some good guys in office somewhere to help you get that done. You can't do it all alone with the sharks around everywhere, and you can't keep putting sharks in place around you and hope to get it done. You'll never accomplish the task. You're also going to have to change the guard when it comes to the media if you really want a fair shake. Otherwise, you're just going to be attacked and beat and shut down at every turn. And whether that's your intent, Donald, or not, I don't know. But at this point, I'm going to go forward and give you credit whenever credit's due. I'm going to be critical whenever it's warranted based on principle. And I'm going to provide solutions and, in my opinion, a productive way forward. Speaking of productive ways forward, one of the best things Donald could do right now is help us free innocents in prison, Sheriff. That's really one of the, in my opinion, the biggest effort that could make a difference, because you could quickly and intelligently pardon those who need pardoned, set up a commission to look into cases that need to be viewed or reviewed. You could literally start to tell the courts you're not going to run around with your judicial belligerent activism anymore. Part of the drain in the swamp is putting a true guard at the courts. In other words, that's the easiest portion of government to clean up, because you can literally impeach judges that are overzealous and activists. You can literally hold them accountable fairly easily. It starts there, in my opinion, Sheriff. It really does.
Well, there's two things that have me really scared that there's no way we're going to be successful with the innocence in prisons thing. And one, the first one is that he's made no move or never mentioned and has never even spoken to Joe Arpaio. Joe Arpaio campaigned for this guy. They are very good friends. He went all over the country campaigning for him, went all over Arizona campaigning for him. He came out way ahead of the curve to support Donald Trump, and Donald Trump has said nothing. That's extremely concerning to me, very concerning. Second one, the possible war going on in North Korea and the escalation of ISIS and ISIS and North Korea getting together. That threat now is going to preoccupy Trump to where if you try to mess with him on something as mundane as pardons at this time, I think he's going to poo-poo it. And so those two things show me that, or really scare me. The Arpaio thing shows me that he's just not interested in helping people, especially good friends of his. I don't know if they had a falling out or something, but I've talked to Joe about that a few times. And Joe hinted that he was certain he was going to get a pardon from Trump. But it doesn't. He told me they haven't talked. And if that's the case, Donald Trump doing this to and allowing this prosecution to continue from the Justice Department is ridiculous. And I don't know what Sessions is doing. Sessions seems like to me like an Ashcroft. When Bush appointed Ashcroft, I was thrilled. I thought Ashcroft was one of the most stand-up senators in American history. He gets in there as Attorney General, and he turns into Mr. Hyde. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I marched against Ashcroft several times, but one in particular was Salt Lake City. And I just absolutely think Ashcroft was horrible. Sessions seems to be heading in the same direction. And so I'm not following this at all. Sessions not making sure that these prosecutions being left over by Obama is ridiculous. And for him not to recognize the problems out in Nevada with Gloria Navarro and the problem with this ridiculous prosecution in Lexington, Kentucky on Sam Girard, and he does nothing about those when he could have. And so he could have done something. He could have told the prosecutors to drop those charges and get out of there and get busy doing something worthwhile for the American people. And that he doesn't know that Gloria Navarro is violating every right guaranteed in the Constitution by the accused out there, then something's wrong with Sessions. And that's kind of what I'm coming up with. And that Sessions and his people would not even speak with me when I'm in Washington, D.C., after I helped pay for sheriffs to be at a press conference that he asked us to attend. And then he and his people basically asked me to leave his office. And so, you know, and I'm sitting there telling him, this is what you guys do to people who help him in standing for a press conference that he asked us to do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's not happening how we thought it would. And I really thought Sessions would be a perfect fit for that. He's been a stand-up guy. He's solid on a lot of different issues. And yet, he gets in there and he starts congratulating people for their ridiculous prosecutions. And he says, we need more asset forfeiture. That's all I've seen from him so far. And the whining he's done that Trump doesn't support him more. So, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical now that we're going to get anywhere. And yes, I'm going to call Arpaio and see if he wants to work together on this. But if Trump isn't going to listen to him now, why would he listen to him later? So I Trump should have already put this out there, should have saved all that money and time. And how ridiculous is it that you want to go after Arpaio now when it's a moot point entirely? The prosecution is an entirely moot point because he can never repeat this behavior again. So you can't put him on probation. Punishing him for a contempt of court with prison time would be absolutely absurd. But that this whole prosecution went on and continued under Trump, and the Bundy prosecution continuing on under Trump, and Sam Girard happening under Trump, and Cox and Kettler happening under Trump, those are the things that have me scared. It's not his seven bankruptcies. Those are the things that really have me scared. He is not draining the swamp. He is not turning this around. He is not helping innocent people. And he is not making skeletal agencies out of the ones that would be so easy to do and saving billions of dollars. So that's my fear right there. And you know, if we can get him pushed in the right direction with some of the people, yes, maybe it can still happen. But North Korea is going to take up all of his time, I'm afraid, for quite some time here. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture, is it, Sheriff Mack? I don't even know what to add when it comes to the, you know, whole Joe Arpaio thing. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
And Joe came out supporting Trump and helping him with that whole thing in Arizona. And then, for Trump to leave him, like our buddy Jerome Corsi from InfoWars said, to basically leave him hanging.
But we'll see what happens, though, with the Donald, and we'll see what happens with Joe Arpaio. For example, does Joe Arpaio really want help like he suggests he does? He's kind of reaching out. He's acting like, oh, please help me. This is horrible. And there's a lot of people that are going, oh, man, what's being done to Joe is wrong. I agree on all counts. Let's find out if Joe Arpaio is genuine and wants help. Will he join our cause publicly, openly? Will he travel? Will he speak? Will he put his name on our thefreedomcoalition.com website as a partner in that?
You would think that Joe would really want to get on board now.
Agreed.
Not just for selfish reasons, though, saying, you know what? I'm not the only one. In fact, I'm one of the least that is having a problem with this because I'm facing 6 months. These other people are facing 40 years. Some of them are facing life. Some of them are like Sam Girod, an Amish farmer, Cox and Kettler. Those are easy ones to do.
Agreed. Now, so the first question is, will Joe Arpaio join us? Sheriff, if you can find that out as soon as possible, that'll be perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right. Secondarily, though, my opinion is, what's the best way for us to move the needle on this? Now, I personally think we ought to go to the National Press Club. Now, I know a lot of people laugh at me. I brought this up to Ted Nugent, and he didn't respond. But look, if you got Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Sheriff Richard Mack, Ted Nugent, Judge Napolitano, these are people that have been added to our petition by their request or their willingness. This isn't a pie in the sky.
Right.
Maybe Joe Arpaio, Roger Stone, and several other movers and shakers to really go to the National Press Club and demand something be done. Now, you might say, well, Sam, it'll still fall on deaf ears. And my response is, what if right after the press club morning event, though, we go straight to Congress? What if Joe Arpaio, Roger Stone, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, and all these people, Judge Napolitano, what if we're all sitting in Jeff Sessions' office? Will they really still ignore us? What will the press do, huh?
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, now, you can say, Sam, that's a waste of money. Sam, that'll get us nowhere. Who cares about the press club? I get it. Maybe we say we don't go to the press club. Maybe we go to the National Mall, have a free rally on the mall, invite the media there, spend our money on press releases, and then we all go to Congress. But what would Jeff Sessions' office do if Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, former Sheriff Richard Mack, Roger Stone, Judge Napolitano, Ted Nugent, and I can go look at our list, there's more. What if we all just sat in Jeff's office and said, we are going to have a sit-in. We're not going to leave until Jeff addresses us with the media present about the innocents in prison. We're not going away. We're staying here until this happens. What would happen, Sheriff? What I'm telling you is we've got enough big, well-known people. Alex Jones can join us, too. Alex Jones has been working on this. We got to give him credit some. What if Alex Jones was there? And we just sat there and said, we are not leaving until we get literally a meeting with Trump and or a public answer in the media about what's going to be done about this. Okay?
Well, I think that would work. I think it would work at the press club or at the National Mall in Washington, D.C.
The only reason the press club would work better is because you could have controlled video and you could get incredible videos that could be used later. If you do it at the mall, it gets kind of sketchy if you can get good enough quality video and audio. And in other words, the public promotion of it couldn't be as big because you don't have control of the environment enough to get great internet connectivity and set up stable recording devices and all that kind of stuff. But when it's on the fly, it's harder without the big media trucks and spending a big bunch of money. Your quality just tanks. And so I'm not so much for the press club as much as I am for the environment that allows us to guarantee quality audio, guaranteed live streams, guaranteed.
Exactly.
So that's the only reason that I'm advocating for that. We could do it from a hotel as well. That would be a lot cheaper than the press club. There's a lot of ways. But again, all you got to do is put the team together. But I bring it up to other people and everybody just kind of goes, ah, Sam, I don't think that's a viable idea. It's a waste of time. Well, my response is, I'm the only one coming up with a solution of what the next step forward would be. Does anybody else have a better idea?
Well, I mean, trying to get us a meeting with Trump would be a great idea. I think that would be even maybe perhaps a better idea. We haven't had that yet. If Stone and Nugent and Trump, Arpaio, all tried to get...
And Mac and Alex Jones and Sam Bushman. I mean, that adds a lot of media clout to it as well with me and Alex already.
He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me and he doesn't know you.
Who doesn't?
You know Trump. He doesn't know
I disagree with that. Donald Trump literally, through his secret press agent by the name of Hope Hicks, literally told CNN that Liberty Roundtable Live was a viable, appropriate talk show. And they were delighted to have the Donald Trump sons on my show. There's no way he doesn't know who I am. Not a chance on this green earth.
Yeah, maybe. He might know you, but I'm sure he doesn't know me.
No, but he knows your Supreme Court win, the best 10th Amendment case in America in modern times. And if he doesn't know, he sure better know soon.
Yeah, he doesn't know me.
If he's going to drain the swamp, we got to make that connection in about 5 seconds, though.
Well, yeah, but whether he does or doesn't, he does know Ted Nugent, and he does know Arpaio, and he does know Stone.
And by the way, we could invite Sarah Palin and Kid Rock to the event as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no kidding.
See, I'm telling you, this has makings of a huge media opportunity if we go.
We have enough people that he would pay attention to.
But we only have enough people if we're going to put our money where our mouth is and if people are going to double down on a good idea and make it happen. Does anybody have a better idea than going to Washington and demanding something be done? We could sit in Trump's office or, you know, we could sit in at the National Mall with a big press conference. We could go to the press club. We could go to Jeff Sessions' office. We could go to all our members of Congress and demand they do something with media everywhere. We could turn it into a big media op. Is there a better idea than some form of what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't see it.
Okay, because anywhere else you go, you go to Nevada, for example, and help the Bundys and have a big rally. That's great, but it'll primarily be ignored. The only way you get it done is enough power players, if you will. In other words, big enough stature people like Arpaio, like Napolitano, like Stone, like Sarah Palin, or, you know, whatever, and do it in Washington to where it simply cannot be ignored in the press. That's the only way that I can see to take the next step and get it done.
Right.
Our efforts for private meetings haven't accomplished anything.
But you're talking about a very expensive step that neither you or I have the money to do it.
It depends on how we made it happen. If we went to the National Mall and then sat in Jeff Sessions' office, it would probably cost us maybe $5,000 to get done.
Yeah, if that were the case. If we were to go to the press club, which is a little bit.
Well, if we went to the press club and then had a rally at the mall outside the press club and invited media and did it right and everything else, it would probably cost us $40,000.
Yeah.
Because now you got to get hotels for people. It's a whole organized event. You got to, et cetera. It'll be expensive. Right. But again, you know, if you had Ted Nugent, Joe Arpaio, Roger Stone, Alex Jones say we're going to Washington, help us raise $40,000 to get this done, or $50,000, we'd have the money in probably less than an hour, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah. And that part is true, too. There's no question. I think that would happen.
But here's my question for you. Is it going to happen, or are we just going to go away and say, hey, no go? What's going to happen here, Sheriff? I'm in all the way, and I'll do whatever it takes, my friend.
Well, I am too, and you already know I am. And to get it organized and to get it going,
And by the way, even if Donald Trump doesn't know of me personally, his secret press secretary, Hope Hicks, knows me very well, and both of his sons know me. They've been on my radio show.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say earlier.
Even if what you're saying is true, which I doubt, by the way, the likelihood of Hope Hicks dealing with me as much as she has via these radio shows and the fallout from that and CNN covering it and the Trump campaign statement about my show being a good show, the likelihood of Donald not knowing about it is pretty slim. But even if that is the case, hey, man, I know Roger Stone, who's got a line to Trump. I know David A. Clark Jr., who's got a line to Trump. I know Joe Arpaio, who used to have a line to Trump. It goes on and on and on and on of the connections that we have. Even Stephen Miller, both you and I know, that has a direct line to the Donald as well. So, I mean, it just, the connections are endless. And whether Donald really could say, you know, I don't know if you just said, hey, Sam Bushman, he'd be like, oh, I know Sam, I doubt it. But if you painted the picture of, oh, he's the nationally syndicated talk show that they call the white supremacist that both your sons were on, and CNN and everybody else had to kind of retract and retell the story over it. He wrote an open letter to you, Donald, by the way. Then Donald might go, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
But either way, the point is,
I've emailed Hope Hicks several times, too, and I know I have her correct email, and she's never responded.
That's right. And Hope Hicks is a secret director. They put all these publics out there as their, you know, a press secretary and everything else, but I'm telling you, Hope Hicks controls the whole gamut, buddy.
Yeah.
She's like the secret agent that never gets coverage, right? But anyway, nevertheless, the point is, though, that each person that has a large following, and you do have a large following, if we get 20 of us together to have reasonably large followings, and some of us may be bigger than others, fine, who cares? The point is, all of us together simply could not be ignored. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, and who else would join us?
I think it's a good idea, and I think it's going to probably be, if that doesn't work, it's not going to work.
And well, and Charlie Daniels and others might be talking. Charlie Daniels, for example, might join us. He's a believer in a lot of ways in what we focus on. Yeah. You got Chuck Norris, who wants to see, believe it or not, what's his name? Wow. Roy Moore. Sorry, thanks. Mm-hmm. Chuck Norris wants to see Roy Moore get elected. You know, Chuck could be talked into joining us. Charlie Daniels could be talked into joining us. Alex Jones has a personal relationship with Willie Nelson, who might be able to be talked into joining us.
Running for?
Senator in Alabama, replacing Jeff Sessions.
He's in the top two right now for the runoff.
Now, if we can get a hold of Roy Moore, and maybe you can do that, Sheriff, if we can get a hold of Roy, and Roy can endorse the Freedom Coalition, maybe Roy could go with us, too.
Yeah.
See, we got a lot of options, but what it takes is a little time and a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, Sam, you're talking about, you know, $50,000 or something. Hey, man, people raise that when they break their pinky toe on GoFundMe and stuff. This isn't a lot of money. 50,000 Americans all put in $1 and it's done. And when, you know, some of these people like Ted Nugent and others have literally millions and millions and millions of followers, raising $50,000 should be nothing when we're talking about these innocents in prison. Every single one of these court cases will dwarf that in funding just to deal with the case alone.
Well, all right.
One question for you.
You asked you talk to Mrs. Smith about helping with funding and see what you get there, and I'll talk to our file.
All right, let's see what we can get, Kurt.
One question for you. Has Tom Woods been included in any of this?
Well, that's a great point. When you say, has Tom Woods been included, we need to reach out to him, see if he wants to sign the Freedom Coalition, and Tom Woods could jump aboard. That's another fantastic point and example.
Yeah, that would be huge, yeah. I haven't talked to him, no.
Why don't you reach out to Tom and reach out? Do you know Roy Moore personally, Sheriff?
No.
All right, maybe Richard or Kurt will get a hold of Roy Moore, and Sheriff will get a hold of... Tom Woods? Because I know, Sheriff, you can get a hold of Tom, right?
I think so.
Let's try and see what that bears fruit.
We might even include old the IRS guy. What was his name?
Joe Bannister.
Yeah.
See, again, another good guy. We could bring up how abusive the IRS is and trot out good old Joe Bannister. Good friend of ours, wonderful guy. Again, he's got a following of his own. You bring 50 of us together instead of 20, and I'm telling you, we would be unstoppable to demand something. They would be forced to respond, I'm telling you right now. And we could get this done, but the question is, are we willing to join together and have the moxie, or are we just too proud and divided with ego and we can't get it done? Isn't that the only question left?
Maybe so.
Maybe I'm clueless, but you know what? I'm not giving up on this, sir. I ain't going to give up.
You're not clueless. You're not clueless. I just think, first of all, Napolitano won't be there, I don't believe. But if he sees that the others are, maybe he would. But because of his ties and contract with Fox News, I don't think he would be.
What if we got Jason Chaffetz, who just joined Fox, to go? Kurt might get a hold of Jason, too.
And that's been another huge disappointment, is because he gave me inside information for people at Fox, and they poo-pooed this whole thing.
If Ron Paul found out that all of us were going, would Ron join?
I don't know.
Don't know. But all I'm telling you is, if we put together the real coalition and had an action plan with big names to it, we might get others to jump on we're not even thinking about. Ron Paul could raise the $50,000 by blinking his eyes once.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of them that could. And, you know, I felt like telling Rand Paul, well, we'll do all your work for you if you'll help us raise some money for it.
All right, here's the bottom line. We're out of time, but I'm telling you right now, I am never going to give up on this story, and I am going to quadruple my efforts, ladies and gentlemen. I commit to you, my family of listeners, I'm going to quadruple my efforts, and I beg you to do the same. Join CSPOA.org and become a member of the FreedomCoalition.com petition and help us get this done today. I'm quadrupling my efforts, and I ask everyone to do the same. There's my commitment publicly. Sheriff?
Hey, thanks a lot. I think it's a great idea, and you're right. We all need to double our efforts.
I'm going to quadruple mine.
Oh, quadruple. Okay, yeah.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. We're on this. We'll keep you posted, ladies and gentlemen. This is an ongoing quest. I have nothing at stake myself, meaning I don't benefit at all. But the FreedomCoalition.com wants to free innocents in prisons. Help us.